Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
So good to have you with us this morning. If you're new here this morning and you're like, wow, these guys are... They sort of go on for a while. It's like we get a little bit passionate. And look, I like watching cycling on TV, and I get excited watching the cycling. And you're going, the cycling on TV? There's lots of us probably that love, I don't know, maybe you get passionate about gardening. Maybe you get passionate about baking cakes or sport. But we have a God who loves us, and he's so much more worthy of our passion. I'm glad Mandy thinks so. Amen, Mandy. Fantastic. Let me just find my notes. There we go. I wonder if anyone remembers what I spoke on last week. Hunger and thirst. We talked about hunger and thirsting. Did anyone have any cravings this week? Anyone crave some chips? Come on, let's get some hands. Anyone? Yeah. Anyone crave some chocolate? A couple of you told me you did. Anyone crave something else? Maybe apple cake, or maybe it was even, I just had this one prepared earlier in case I had a craving during the service. Coffee scroll. Thanks, Sally. Wonder if you've had any cravings this week. I hope when you do, and I've got to work out how to chew and talk at the same time, that's bad manners, but please excuse me. I'm debating, do I spit it out, do I keep... It's come out of the freezer. It's actually a little chewy. Have a think for a moment. What have I craved this week? Can I have a drink, please, honey? There we go. That'll be a memorable moment of the sermon today. There we go. I wonder if we've craved something this week. Now I'm spitting. I wonder if you've had a moment of temptation this week. Excuse me. Last week we talked about those sanctifying moments, those moments of being sandpapered when we're hungry and thirsting after things that are not of God. But in those moments of hungering and thirsting for things that we know do not bring us life, God help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness instead. We talked about last week how God's blessing, fullness of life, comes from not craving after the things of the world, but hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for following after Him. And this morning, it's really part two of last week's message. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If you weren't here last week, I think it'll still make sense, so that's good. But how about we pray? Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we just thank you for everything that you have given us, Lord. Every gift that you have given. Lord, as we enjoy your creation, Lord, as we taste great food, as we enjoy a sunrise and a sunset, Lord God, as we enjoy every good thing that you have given. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. Lord, for those that have had challenges and faced difficult things this week, Lord God, we just ask for each one of us this morning that you would speak to us. By your Holy Spirit, you would just move in our hearts, that you'd do your sandpapering sanctification work in our lives today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open our Bibles and read from Acts chapter 11. And if you've been reading along in our CFC Bible reading plan, you will have read this a couple of weeks ago. Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. Reading from verse 15 to 26, it says this. This point in the book of Acts, obviously we're in the book of Acts. Jesus has died, he has risen again, he has then ascended to the Father. And God has poured out the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. But then persecution has begun, and the disciples have been scattered all over the different regions. And at this point, God has been speaking to Peter. God reveals in a dream, in a vision, this sheet. He lets it down, and inside the sheet is these animals that normally Peter would never eat as a good Jewish man. And God says, "No, take, eat. I have come for the Gentiles too." And Peter begins to preach to the Gentiles from this moment. He goes and spends time in the home of a Gentile. And we get to verse 15 and he says this, still speaking about what happened with the Gentiles. He says, "As I began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. Praise the Lord." I don't know about you, I'm not Jewish. God's grace is for all people. Verse 19. "Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that these believers were first called Christians." And what an awesome picture of the church. People meeting together, the gospel being preached, and God adding to the number that's being saved, others going from other places and encouraging them and trying to keep each other accountable and keep each other on track. But I want to ask a question. Who do you think is too far from God to be saved? Who do you think is too far from God to be saved? Now, probably every one of us will say, "No one. No one's too far from God to be saved." But I wonder, and I want to ask you this morning, do our actions show that we believe that? Do our actions show that we believe that Jesus died for every person and no one is too far from him to be saved? Have a listen to what Paul says to Peter a little bit later in the story. The very one that God spoke to, Peter, who was used by God to reach the Gentiles. Have a listen to what Paul goes and says to Peter in Galatians chapter 2. Actually, is it there? I might read off. I'll get it first. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11 to 13. It says, this is Paul speaking, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Did you hear that? Even Barnabas was led astray. It's like, far out, Peter, what are you doing? Even Barnabas is following your silly choices. It's like, Barnabas, he's a good guy, but you've led him astray, mate. I wonder, who do we think doesn't want to hear the gospel? I wonder who in your week-by-week life that you see week in, week out, and you've heard them talk about different things, and you just sort of think, oh, they'd never be interested in being invited to church. Just, No, that's someone else's testimony. I won't share that for them. But I know there are people in this room that a friend invited them here, even though they thought they wouldn't come, and they were amazed to get the invitation, and they came. I wonder who in your life that you see every day, every week, every month, do you see and think, oh, they wouldn't be interested? The gospel is the good news for all the world. It is the only way to salvation. It's the only way to eternal life, and our world needs to hear it. And church, I'm preaching this to myself too. I've just been thinking as I've been preparing. I've got some great opportunities over the last 12 months. When you sit in a hospital bed and people come to you and have to deal with you and do stuff for you, you get a chance to talk to them. It's really cool. It's like a captive audience. They're paid to look after you. They have to be there. And I've had some absolutely amazing conversations with some of the nurses and a couple of doctors and people that have been looking after me at times. But then I think there's other people that I just never brought up faith with. And I think, well, was I not willing, or was God just not leading me that way in that moment? Maybe it's both. But maybe sometimes I just wasn't looking. I wonder, how often do we not see people as God sees them? Maybe for some of us, we feel like we're the ones that are too far from God. Maybe we feel like, yeah, you know what, as a young person, I loved God, and I was pursuing Him, but then I did this, and then I made this choice, and then this happened, and how could God possibly still love me? Maybe you feel like you've messed things up, but God could surely maybe only just forgive you, but He certainly wouldn't want to spend time with you. That is a lie. Jesus came for every one of us. You might feel like it's impossible, but listen what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Speaking of how can we be saved, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord isn't being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." Point number one, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes. I've just been this week looking through journals and journals and journals of notes that I've taken over the last 20 years. And I was blessed as I read over my notes from Pastor Dave and Selwyn and others that have shared messages that have just blessed my life. I encourage you. So you're all getting a note. It's all right. I won't. No pressure if you haven't. Point number one, no one is too far from God to be saved. No one. In those moments where you feel like a piece of garbage, you are loved and you have been bought with the precious blood of the Son of God. He loves you. He did it for you, and don't say what He did was meaningless. His work is finished. He has done it, and He loves you. God, give us new eyes to see ourselves and to see those around us, how God sees us and how He sees them. God, help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to have a righteous view of people, to have a passion for righteousness to come in people's lives, that they might know Him who gives righteousness. Looking back in Acts 11, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them and they could not deny that God had done this, that He had drawn them and He'd poured out His Holy Spirit. And God wants to fill every one of us with His Spirit. He wants to empower us and lead us by His Holy Spirit. In verse 19, it says that after the persecution began, after Stephen's death, it caused them to go out all over the place and preach the gospel. And the gospel spreads throughout all these different areas. Why? Because of the persecution. Now, is Paul saying persecution's good? No way. Is suffering good? No way. Is sickness and trials, are those things good? Absolutely not. The things that we go through in this life, I believe it grieves God's heart to see the brokenness of this world. I believe it grieves God's heart to see the trials that we go through, the things that happen to people that He loves. It grieves God's heart. But I want to say again this morning, point number two, God works in all things. God allowed the persecution to begin, that the people in the early church went out from Jerusalem, that the gospel would go out to other places. God doesn't cause the trials in his life, but he uses them. God works in all things. Romans 8, verse 28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." Let me just read the amplified version of that verse because it just kind of amplifies it. I love the amplified. "And we know." And really the amplified is just trying to give us the fullness of the original word. It's not trying to add anything to the word of God. It's just trying to help us understand the meaning of the words in the original language. "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things." And even as I say that, my heart just stirs because that is a huge statement. All things. "To work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." And it leads me to point number three, which is again a big statement to say, but when our focus is on Christ, we can see the blessings in all things. Let me say it again. When our focus is on Christ, when we're pursuing him first, when he is our greatest priority, we can see the blessings in all things. As I was preparing the message, I remembered back to a message I heard when I was at the Hillsong Conference in 2016. And there was a guy there that shared a testimony. It was just 5 or 10 minutes long. And he was sharing a testimony about when he was given a terminal diagnosis from the doctor. He'd been to the doctor and he got the report back from the scans or whatever he'd had, and he was given this terminal diagnosis. And as he drove home from the doctor's, he had the letter sitting there beside him on the seat. He's driving home and he felt God speak to him and say, "This letter is your passport and your visa stamped ready to go into a world that you would have otherwise never gone to." Sorry, I... Even as I thought about this testimony, I just began to cry again. And he shared about how this diagnosis opened an opportunity for him to preach and share the love of God with people that he would never have spoken to before. I looked up the message to see if I could find it on YouTube just through the week, and I found it. I was so excited, and I watched it again, and I just wept the whole time again. I don't often cry, but... And after I watched the message this time, and just again so encouraged by his passion and his courage, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some Facebook stalking. So I looked him up. And to be honest, the first thing I actually Googled was the guy's name and funeral. Because the diagnosis was for 2 years. And I looked him up, I actually found his Facebook page and saw that he'd put up a Christmas post just a few months ago. I thought, yes! So, you know what I did? I sent him a message and I said, "Thank you so much for sharing that message 8 years ago." And he got back to me. I was like, yeah, cool. He actually got the message. Because you know, like Facebook, you send someone a message you're not friends with, you don't see it for 5 years anyway. Apologies if you've ever done that to me. And I just shared a little bit of my own journey from the last 2 years as well. And he messaged back and he was so grateful for the encouragement himself in knowing that his message 8 years ago was still affecting people. And I'm going to share that later on Facebook with you. I was going to play it this morning. I thought, no, it's going to take too long. I want to share other things. But you know what? Just this weekend, he's travelled to, he's living over in southeast Victoria. He went up to Albury to deliver a wheelchair to someone who also has this same diagnosis. And he's been spending his whole life, he said, "I'm still in ministry, it's just one person at a time." He's actually a pastor, but he's now ministering to one person at a time that is going through the same disease. And he's just going around and he's bringing wheelchairs to people and he's praying with people. People are coming to Christ. And he's done a lot of funerals, he said, over the last 8 years. But God is using his great trial for an amazing purpose. God is at work in all things. Point number four, we all need a Barnabas. You know, when the church in Jerusalem heard about what was going on, that the Gentiles are getting saved, and it sounds a little bit crazy, the things going on, they're not quite sure what to do with, they send Barnabas to go and check it out and to bring encouragement. He says he sees what's going on, and he's filled with joy, and he just encourages them and comes alongside them. And church, when life seems to go a little bit crazy, when things happen in our lives that we just never wanted to happen, when things happen in our lives that we never expected, we need a Barnabas. We need someone that we can call out to, someone that we can talk to that will encourage us. Someone who's full of faith, that's full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, as it says about Barnabas. Point number five, we all need encouragement. I'm going all over my notes, I just realized. I wonder who in your life have you invited, not just have you hoped, but who in your life have you invited to speak into your life? Who have you said, hey, if you ever see me going astray, can you pull me up? Or when you're struggling, have you said, hey, can you pray for me with this issue? Maybe this week you need to give someone a call and say, hey, can we catch up and have a coffee? Can we catch up and just have a chat? And maybe you'll just be able to thank them for what they've done for you in your life already, but say, hey, can you pray for me in this? Can you help me with this issue? I'm not sure what to do. Maybe you need to join a life group. It's a perfect opportunity to build closer, knit relationships that you can share the trials you're going through. It's good to remember too, though, that Barnabas wasn't perfect either. Paul had to tell him off and say, what are you doing? Peter, Barnabas, you've gone astray. I've been so blessed by so many of you over the last 12 months, having messages of encouragement and people praying for me. But I want to say too that I've been so blessed by other pastors and churches that have been praying for me. I was totally blown away in January when we were on holidays and we went and visited a church. It wasn't a CRC church. And just after the service, so I was chatting with someone and just as we were chatting away, they've suddenly looked at me kind of weird and they've gone, it's you, you're Andrew, you're the guy we've been praying for. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what are you talking about? But their pastor's a guy I know and I've caught up with, we've had coffee together, and I've been blessed because I've made time to catch up and encourage others that are then encouraging me. And I want to encourage you, you have an opportunity every week to come together with 150 other people and be an encouragement to someone. That when you go through a trial, when you go through a situation, you've got 150 people around you that you can say, hey, can you pray for me? Maybe life's going great and you feel like, oh, I don't need to be in church this week, I'm going great. I wonder who else needs you to be here. We have life groups, we serve together, and they're all opportunities just to come alongside each other and be a Barnabas. Psalm 42, I'm going to try and wrap this up. You can see why I cut the message in half and didn't try and do it in one go. Psalm 42, verse 1 to 5. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? I don't know why, but that just reminded me, I was going to say, I have a patch on my neck. It's not melanoma related. It's just a little thing I had chopped off anyway. Someone told me I should say what was happening. Sorry, the next line is not me, but verse 4, my heart is breaking As I remember how it used to be, I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our worship. He has made a way for sinners to be saved. I'm going to ask the band to come as I just share my final point. My final point is this: zoom out and then zoom in. And I'll explain that for you now. Zoom out and then zoom in. Has anyone ever used Google Maps or maps on your phone or in your car? Hands up if you have. And has anyone ever had one of those moments where you're driving somewhere, you've put it in the maps, and you're driving along, and you're following the directions, but then suddenly you're kind of like, where is this taking me? Am I not alone? And you're driving along, and you're thinking, this is not going the right way. And you have a zoom out and zoom in moment. There's a moment where you've got to, of course, you pull over, and you stop the car. You don't... And you zoom out. You think, where is this taking me? And you look at the bigger perspective. You see the big picture of where you're headed. And you suddenly find out that, oh, I'm not going to that suburb in Melbourne. I'm going to that suburb in Perth. Has anyone had that happen? Or maybe it's whatever direction it's taking, you suddenly realize you are not going the right way. But because you've zoomed out, you have an opportunity to recalibrate and you put in the new directions of where you're meant to be going. Church, sometimes we need a zoom out moment where we stop, where we be still and we say, God, give me the bigger perspective. God, give me a picture of where I'm headed. Help me understand the direction of my life and where I'm going right now. That we need to zoom out, that we need to stop, we need to pull over and say, God, point out where I'm headed right now. Ask ourselves, where am I headed? What's my focus? Am I living in response to Jesus' love for me? Am I living in response and a recognition of the knowledge that God loves all people and He wants all people to be saved? What are we hungering and thirsting for? One last verse I want to read in John chapter 4. And verse 35 and 36, again, if you're reading the CFC Bible reading plan, you will have read this just through the week. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, says this: you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. Wake up and look around, for the fields are ripe for harvest. And just to be honest, as I read this through the week, it says, what joy for the one who harvests, but also for the one who plants, for the one who waters, for the one who just continues to sow the seed, maybe in ones that you thought would never respond, but who continues to sow the seed, what joy awaits those ones that will plant, that will water, and even get the privilege and the joy of being the harvester. Let's hunger and thirst for righteousness and zoom in on what it is that God's called us to. Let's plan our life around it. And let's share the hope we have with the world, because they need a Savior. Can we stand as we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God, we just thank you so much for your mercy and your grace that you would save sinners like me. Lord God, that you would allow us to come into your presence. To, Lord, not just know your forgiveness, but to have your Holy Spirit in our life, leading us and guiding us. And Lord God, we just want to say sorry today, God, for the times when we have hungered and thirsted after other things, that we have treated your grace lightly. God, I just pray that you'd help us to have that zoom out and zoom in moment where we can focus in again on the things that you have for us. I just feel like God would want to say to some people here today, wherever you find yourself, God has put you there. Just like that man who had been given that passport, you have been placed in a position and in a time that you can speak into people's lives that no one else can. And Lord God, I just pray for those who maybe don't like the position they find themselves in today, or maybe there's a job they have that they're not enjoying. God, I just pray that you would lead us through every season, through every situation, that we would have the attitude of Christ, that we would have your eyes to see the world, that we would have your heart, and that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, for your kingdom above all else. And that, Lord God, you would use us to bring a harvest in this world, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.